It's time for Simple Kitchen with Missy Mackey.
No, this conversation is about cheese.
For the next hour, you'll learn everything you ever wanted to know about cooking from one of Portland's foremost bloggers on food.
Let go of the carrot and the grater.
No!
Featuring great local restaurants, outstanding guests.
I made turkey tetrazzini and coleslaw.
And your participation is always welcome.
I'll have the sausage.
So enjoy the next 60 minutes as we bring out the foodie in you.
It's your last meal, Frank.
It's Simple Kitchen with Missy Mackey on AM 860 and KPAM.com.
Good morning, Portland, and welcome back to the Simple Kitchen. I'm your host, Missy Mackey, and we are a live show, so please call in at 503-225-0860, or you can tweet me at Missy Mackey, and I'll ask your question for you. I'm a local food blogger, and I'm here to talk about cooking in, dining out, and everything in between. You can find my blog at MrsMackeyCooks.com, where I dish about cooking, baking, and serve up a side of life. Good morning, James. How are you? I can't hear you. You got to turn it on, man. No? That's okay. I'm going to talk for you. Okay, well, welcome to... Are you there?
I figured it out.
Oh,
someone messed with my buttons.
Jiminy Christmas. Do I have to do everything in this station?
Yeah.
I know. That's okay. We'll do a training session after this. Welcome to what are we calling it? The Simple Kitchen Holiday Cookie...
extravaganza.
Contest, extravaganza. There's all sorts of different terms we can use there. But this is a really... Cookie! Yay! This is... this show is actually sponsored by Be Local Honey, Lagrima Vanilla, Wild Friends Peanut Butter, Dogwood Distilling, Tillamook Butter, in fact, 5 pounds of butter, Best Manufacturing, CDM Thermometers, and Blake's Decorette Shop. So these are the prizes that are being given away, intense amount of prizes.
Can you think of any other contest that gives away butter?
No, but that's a shame, frankly.
It really is.
Honestly, because you know what? Butter is expensive, and I'm not saying Tillamook butter is expensive, but when you see it on sale and it's like 2 pounds for $5, buy it. Now... Butter. Do you have butter in your fridge?
Of course I do.
Do you use margarine?
Yes, but not when I bake.
What do you use margarine for?
Potatoes.
Potatoes? Okay. I don't use it at all. I remember we had it as a kid, but I think it was kind of the thing back then. And I think they said it was cheaper and it was better for you for a while, they said. But it's like I think it's pretty bad for you. So... Yeah, you don't care. He just hunched up his shoulders. Anyway, so let me tell you about this cookie contest. Basically, we sent out texts. We sent out, what do we have? Twitter. We talked about it on the show, and we asked people to send in their recipes for this contest. All of those sponsors have given gifts. There's a giant basket. I've sent it out on Twitter if you want to take a look, of just goodies. And they're just waiting to be sent to some fabulous cookie recipe owner so that they can have it to bake over the holidays. So essentially we got, I think it was like 200 and I'm going to turn your mic on, ma'am.
Okay.
Like 240 something recipes.
Yes, about that.
And that's Mary. She helps me with the show here. She has all of your programming and all those good stuff. And she brought them in and we actually went through blindly and picked recipes out. We picked 6 recipes. And then once we had the recipes selected, we found our favorite food bloggers in Portland. We took the details out other than the recipe and handed out the recipes and said, cook them and bring them in. And we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the people whose recipes they are. And then we're going to taste them. And at the end of the show, everybody who's here will vote. And this will be a legitimate cookie contest. And we will tell you who the winner is right before the top of the noon hour. So I'm really excited about this because we're literally going to taste them on the air. It's going to sound like this. Exactly. Yeah, crunching. Because no one's heard me on the air with a mouthful of food before. That's a total lie. Okay, so let's just talk. I know. I like eat and drink and I cough. I think I've done pretty much everything, you know, like legal.
You haven't yawned yet. No,
it's not like, okay, that was a fake one. I'm acting. Thespian. Okay.
And the Academy for Best Yawn goes to...
Missy Mackey. Okay. So let me tell you, there's a couple little things going on. One of those little things is called the holiday season, and there's lots of things happening. One of the things I had, I think I've said thing about 10 times, I got an item about salt and straw. And we love salt and straw because they always do these fun seasonal flavors. I think they did stuffing and turkey and gravy, different flavors of ice cream. What do you think about that, James?
Salt in your ice cream?
Well, okay.
I guess
yeah, salt,
it kinda
absolutely.
Because I like the caramel pretzel ice cream. That's pretty good. So, and right. That's got salt in it.
You know, salt is such an artisan item now. It's not the old mined salt. It's, you know, like Ben has been in, Ben Jacobson, and, you know, it's fresh sea salt. Like, people are putting it, they're finishing with it. We're learning how to layer flavors, and one of the final layers are these crispy, delicious flakes of salt. Well, in fact, the salt with sugar in that form where you really get the blast of it enhances the flavor. It does in many items. So salt, to me, yes. Gravy is with ice cream is probably, I went the totally different, like meat, you know, but that was questionable. But I talked to a few people who had some of those Thanksgiving flavors and they really enjoyed them. So these are a little more understandable. So here's what's going on. Salt and straw spreads cheer this December with a new sundae, float, milkshake, and holiday flavors. So they've got a figgy pudding, roasted chestnuts, peppermint cocoa, spiked eggnog, and bourbon pecan pie into ice cream pints. Sounds good. Those are a little more.
You had me at bourbon.
I know. Bourbon's good. I love bourbon. Okay. Those are a little more user friendly, I think. Figgy pudding, though, I've never had figgy pudding. Have you had figgy pudding?
I have not had figgy pudding.
Bring us some figgy pudding. See,
what is figgy pudding?
It's pudding with figs in it. Is my assumption, but not to be mixed
That's
up.
A good
is
assumption.
That not it? No. Okay. Allison just looked at me and furrowed her brow and shook her head and said, no. What's wrong with you, you stupid blogger?
You call yourself a
Who
foodie.
Are you? I really don't. I'm waiting for someone just to take the mic and be like, my show now. You suck. Who gave you a radio show? So the holiday sundae is a sherry bundt cake, which is just fun to say. Sherry bundt cake. I wouldn't that be a great name?
I went to high school with her.
Exactly. Everyone should go to high school with sherry bundt cake. So sherry bundt cake with chestnut ice cream, fresh whipped cream, and a drizzle of Be Local honey. See, that's my background screaming. Eggnog, egg cream eggnog float. That sounds delicious. That's up my alley. House-made vanilla egg cream with our own spiked eggnog ice cream. You couldn't go wrong there. Peppermint cocoa ice cream or spiked eggnog ice cream are custom in a custom-made milkshake. And some of the holiday flavors, like I said. Okay, let's talk. Figgy pudding. Spiced plum custard pudding in ice cream form. Oregon-grown plums and a splash of a bit of Old World famous Clear Creek brandy. See, people are just putting booze in everything, and it's the smartest thing that's ever happened. So that's what it is. It's got the Clear Creek brandy and then plums, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's awesome. Go to Salt and Straw.
People are putting alcohol in everything because no one has time to eat and drink at the same time.
Exactly. I don't have. I'm in. Like when I'm going through a drive-through, I'm like, I'll take a number three and a shot of vodka. No, I'm just kidding.
Where do you go for that?
I know.
I'm eating there now.
Sign
too.
Me up. Can you just put? I'll take a double with my Diet Coke. So there's a dinner going on at it looks like Aviary Restaurant. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, and winemaking. What do you think about that? Allison's nodding her head. Do you like it? You like
yeah.
The idea? You didn't know your teen rock hero's got a new gig smashing grapes instead of guitars? Lead singer of Queensryche, Jeff Tate, partnered with Walla Walla Washington Winery Three Rivers to produce his label Insania.
Okay, I actually know, like, I'm not a wine drinker, but I know Queensryche, and I know he's got a wine, and I know it's supposed to be really good.
What else do you know?
Not much else.
I know I love you. Okay, so to Bruce's label, Insania, AC/DC's contribution to the wine world includes a thunderstruck Chardonnay, Hell's Bells, Sauvignon Blanc, Back in Black, Shiraz. We could do this all day. And a Highway to Hell Cabernet Sauvignon. You sing Highway to Hell.
Because I'm a highway to Cabernet.
To hell. No. White Snakes, David Coverdale says his Cabernet Sauv 2009, it's a bodacious, cheeky little wine filled to the brim.
Because he comes out and sings in the still of the bottle.
Does he really?
I don't know.
That's just a piece of his cheek is in there. With the spicy essence of a sexy, slippery snakiness. Yes. James just fell on the floor. I recommend it to complement any and all grown-up friskiness and hot tub jollies. Okay, I have to say this whole sentence again because this is too awesome. Okay, so again, David Coverdale of Whitesnake said, it's a bodacious, cheeky little wine filled to the brim with the spicy essence of sexy, slippery snakiness. I recommend it to complement any and all grown-up friskiness and hot tub jollies.
I don't know about you, but I don't want snake in my wine.
All I know is he needs to start writing soft porn. What do you think?
Have you seen some of his music videos?
Yes,
of course. Pretty much there.
Tawny Katane is in like every single one of them, and I just aged myself. Right, just dated myself right there.
You and everyone else in the building.
Brandy's nodding, going, "I totally know what she's talking about." She just rocked out. So, anyways, this is a dinner on January 15th. Gabriel Rucker, Jason French, Aaron Barnett. Who won? Aaron Barnett won the Wild About Game up at the Timberline. That was phenomenal. Kerr Jensen, and they'll join the Aviary Chef Trio, Sarah Pliner, Jasper Shen, and Kat Whitehead at Center Stage to do this. So just contact Aviary, get your tickets, $85 per person. This is your chance to see if these 80s and 90s legends can still rock you. All right. After that, I'd like to say we're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk about cookies. We'll be back with more Simple Kitchen.
You drop in, I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice. Beautiful, what's your...
Simple Kitchen with Missy Mackey on AM 860 and KPAM.com.
Welcome back to the Simple Kitchen. I'm your host, Missy Mackey, and it is officially holiday cookie contest time. But do you know where holiday cookies come from? Why we do this, James?
Because cookies are the most wonderful thing in the world.
Close, but no. The origin of cookies lies in the medieval European recipes. Lebkuchen, gingerbread, was probably the first cake cookie to be traditionally related with Christmas. Cookies spread all over Europe by 1500. Therefore, every house made or baked cookies in great amounts, whether they were either Lebkuchen or buttery spritz cookies. Those are my people. The people of Sweden preferred papperkakor. No, that's mine. Yeah, the spicy ginger and black pepper delights. While the Norwegians took the liking of krumkaka, thin lemon and cardamom scented wafers. So it is seen that the cookies of one place was different in form and shape from another. Blah, blah, blah. There's a whole bunch more. So basically it started over in Europe. And delicious spiced cookies. So we're going to start with Beebe Ashcroft. And we'll talk a little bit more about her once we get her on the air. But first we're going to tell you about the cookie. So this cookie is called Chocolate Spice Crackle Cookie with Gingerbread Caramel or Caramel, depending on how you speak. Brandy looks like a caramel. Beebe, are you a caramel or a caramel?
Caramel.
You're a caramel. Okay. Okay, I'm a caramel too. So, Mary?
I'm a caramel.
You're a caramel. Josh? James? Whatever your name
Who?
Is today. Yeah. Robert, what are you?
I call it deliciousness.
Not caramel. I like caramel, but I don't say it that way. Okay, so her name is Kristen Weglars. She's from Bremerton, Washington. Kristen is a home cook who loves to experiment and create recipes, especially cookies. During the holidays, she loves to use traditional spices like ginger, cinnamon, etc. Her father always ate ginger snaps, and her mother made yummy Christmas caramels, so she grew up partial to ginger and caramel. Chocolate is simply her weakness. This cookie combines all three, ginger, caramel, and chocolate. So, Beebe, tell us about your blog, and then let's talk about the cookie.
Well, my blog is cookingcatastrophe.com.
Okay.
Which is putting the humor into homemaking. It's the fun side of cooking and baking.
Okay.
And, yeah, I had a lot of fun making this cookie recipe because I thought the combination was really unique of the chocolate and the gingerbread and the caramel. I'd never seen anything quite like that before. And And yeah, it was a lot of fun to make this. You can do two different ways. When you make this dough, there's a three-step process. You make the dough, you roll it in a sugar and cinnamon mixture, and then you can either keep the cookies round if you like a nice chewy cookie, or you can flatten them to make a nice sandwich cookie. And so I decided to do both because I wanted to try both ways. I like firm ginger snaps, and I also like soft chewy cookies. And what you do is you make a gingerbread caramel glaze, and you can drizzle it over the round cookies or use it on the flat ones to make a sandwich cookie.
Okay.
So it's very unique. There's three different steps in
it. Okay, I'm going to stop you just for 1 second, and I'm going to have you switch seats over here because for some reason this microphone's just I'm not sure what happened. So
is that better?
Yeah, it sure is. Holy cow. Okay, there we go. Okay, so you make the caramel, and then what happens?
So you make this gingerbread caramel glaze, which is very unique. I've never had a gingerbread caramel before. And you make that over the stovetop. So once you have your cookies made, you're just mixing basically butter, sugar, vanilla, spices, and you make this. It's very easy to do. I was a little worried about, you know, a candy-coated glaze, but it's actually very simple. You just stir it until it thickens, let it cool, and then you've got a nice glaze, and you can either drizzle that over the top if you want nice, soft, round cookies, mm-hmm. or if you flatten them out, you can actually make a sandwich cookie by putting the glaze in between. So it's really quite unique.
So between the two, cookies, which was your favorite?
My personal preference was for the nice, traditional, round, soft cookie. It had the nicest texture. I thought it was my personal tastiest.
Okay. So did you find the cookie easy to make?
Yeah, it is involved because it's got the, you know, the three different steps. But it really wasn't that bad to make. I thought kind of, you know, doing the caramel, it could have been a lot more complicated. But it really wasn't that bad. I made a couple of batches. I made one batch over Thanksgiving to bring to the family and then made another batch. So now I kind of got the swing of it down. And it wasn't so bad. One thing I would say with this cookie is that it does cook very quickly. So keep an eye on it when you got it in the oven.
And then, so had you ever made, you may have said this, but I got distracted by the microphone. have you ever made caramel before?
No, I've never made caramel before.
So do you feel like now, after you made this, like, you know how to make caramel?
Yeah, totally.
So that's kind of neat when you make something and all of a sudden now you're like, oh, I can make caramel, because there's so many different applications for that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I've always thought with the candy making, I think a lot of people are kind of like, I don't know, this could be kind of tricky. But this was so simple to do. And I mean, I love caramel, and it's makes such a delicious gooey topping for the cookies that now that I know how easy this was, because it really only takes a few minutes to do. That's one of the simplest parts of the recipe. So I'm like, I can totally make this on everything.
Exactly. Or just like drizzle it over a cake or any of those things. So again, okay. So reminder, this is Kristen Wellglars of Bremerton, Washington. And we're going to, everybody come and get a cookie. Did everyone taste it already? Okay. I'm going to taste them too. And then I want to, while we have you, so tell me a little more about your blog, and I'm going to walk over and grab a cookie. So your blog, the name of it again is
Cooking Catastrophes.
I love that name.
So it's a fun little blog that's about all the fun of making and preparing food, from, you know, the good parts to the yummy cookies to the more funny parts when, you know, you have a batch that doesn't turn out so well, and you know, just sort of embracing the humor in it and being like, you know, look, this happens to everybody, let's laugh about it, and then let's share tips about realistic recipes.
Right. We are not all like Martha Stewart. It doesn't, you know, and Martha Stewart isn't like Martha Stewart, quite frankly.
Uh-huh.
And Brandy, I just love bringing her up. I'm going to look over and see if Rebecca's given the stink eye to you. Nope, she's being sweet. You bring, so Martha hasn't done the bloggers right lately.
She was when you weren't looking.
She was. She was giving the back of my Christmas sweater the stink eye. I'm dressed to the nines, by the way. I just tasted this cookie. Here is my, so your blog post is up, mm-hmm. right? And I will, after probably later today, I'm going to put up the post with all of the links. But you can find this cookie recipe, pictures, and the pictures, and then the two ways to make it on her website. And it's
www.cookingcatastrophe.com.
And that is where you're going to find Kristen Wellglars of Bremerton, Washington's cookie. And it is called Chocolate Spice Crackle Cookie with Gingerbread Caramel. And this is really good. My input on this is that this cookie tastes like the holidays. Right? Yeah, it has the holiday flavor. So, ho, 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 la, la. How, what do you think, you guys? Shout some stuff out. What do you think?
Smells amazing.
Smells really good.
I love the sandwich one.
Mm. Oh, I haven't tasted the sandwich one. See, I'm tasting. Did you taste this one, James?
Yes, I did. It's very moist.
Very moist, yeah.
Which okay. I love.
It's nice and soft. I like that. I'm definitely a chewy cookie person. So.
That's a good consistency. Like, it's chewy. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So, with this cookie, tell me any pitfalls you had with it.
Well, I had touched briefly on how quickly the cookie bakes. So I think that's one thing to keep in mind when you're making this. It does cook very fast. The bottom of it will start to get a little bit black when the top of it is still a little soft. So my advice on this would be to pull it out when you think it's not quite done, when it still looks a little bit too soft. Because if mm-hmm. you see the edges starting to darken, it's probably black underneath.
Right.
So it just keep in mind that it cooks very quickly. So, you know, keep an eye on it when it's in the oven.
So there's some great information for you with cookies. And that's why I love bloggers. I always say this. And one of the reasons I started blogging is I would go online and I'd look up a recipe and there'd be all recipes or this, that and the other thing. And then there'd be these like cute little names like Q-tips and candy or something, you know, and I'd be like, oh, that's cute. And I mean, I'm not saying that. That probably is a blog. It probably is.
It is now.
Yeah, exactly. And which is kind of gross, right? Q-tip. That's James' blog. James, your new blog is called Q-tips and candy. So you click on it and it's like this wonderful person who loves kittens and bakes cookies and, you know, has nine kids.
Has an affinity for Q-tips.
Yeah. It has very clean ears. and it's just in general, just really fun. And you go on, and then they would have these tips like this, like on this cookie, make sure, you know, bring it down a few degrees or whatever. I mean, it's really great. So awesome. So how much more time do we have in this segment? 2 minutes. Okay, so we're going to finish these. I'm going to have everybody's going to keep tasting these, and I'm going to talk about some cooking tips. Okay, so I went to Old Farmer's Almanac, and I found the 10 things cookie bakers really ought to know. And if you can't trust the Farmer's Almanac, who can you trust? Okay, so here's one. These and some of these seem really, like duh. But organize, clear your work area before you begin, and get out all the ingredients. Put each one away as you use it, so you don't forget what you've used. Rinse bowls and utensils as you go. Beeb, do you do that?
Oh, definitely.
You do?
Definitely. You have to, otherwise everything gets solidified and it's just a huge mess.
Yeah, a big, giant mess. Like, you know, my mom, when she would cook back in the day, she's in the room and she's smiling. She would go in and blow the kitchen from here to Texas. And then the cookies would be made and she'd walk out and be like, okay, clean up, everybody, clean up. I'm serious. I think I was like washing dishes when I was like 4. it was like a Seattle sweatshop. my mom is just laughing. Look, she's not denying it. Okay. The next one, read the recipe before you do anything. As you read, check your supply of staples, flour, sugar, butter, and watch for any unusual steps. For example, if the dough has to chill for 12 hours, you should know this before you start in case you need the cookies by noon today. Who hasn't done that? Who hasn't, you know, where you start and you're just like, everything's ready to go and it's like you have to make a simple syrup or something that ends up having to, you know, chill, etc.
Right.
So it's such a pain. So read the recipe first so that you've timed it out properly. Okay, Beep, thank you so much. And again, Kitchen Catastrophe. And that was Ms. Kristen Welglars of Bremerton, Washington. Thank you so much. And we'll see if your recipe wins. We're going to take
you.
A break and we'll be back with more Simple Kitchen.
You're listening to Simple Kitchen with Missy Mackey on AM 860 and KPAM.com.
Welcome back to the Simple Kitchen. I'm your host, Missy Mackey, and this is the Simple Kitchen Holiday Christmas Cookie Extravaganza Contest. And we are here now with Marissa of Margaritas in the Rain. Right?
Hi. Yep.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm great. I'm sweating. I have a Christmas sweater that has a story that I might tell right now.
I would love to hear it.
So when I was growing up, my mother wore a Christmas sweater, and I used to, she would put it on, and I would go, oh my God, Mom, that thing is god-awful. It's heinous. And then one day I was at her house, and she had a pile of clothes, And on the top of it was a Christmas sweater. And this is probably like 6 years ago that you threw it away, Mom. And I was like, why is that there? Like, all of a sudden it hit me, like, you can't get rid of the Christmas sweater. And she was like, well, I'm getting rid of it. You guys always make fun of me. And she seriously, like, she was over it. So I've grabbed it and I've worn it every Christmas since.
So that's the sweater.
This is the sweater. Yeah. Look at it. It's got all the, look at how fabulously ornate it is.
There are lots of details on it.
There's one on the back there.
I see that.
You can see. I've got Christmas coming and going.
I love it. I'm feeling the holiday spirit today.
It's got like a wonderful collar.
Yes, and a fuzzy collar.
Now at this point, I have to wear it until it falls apart. But I can tell you one thing that my daughter's getting is this sweater.
Absolutely.
I'm going to take
care
of it. You
got to keep the tradition going.
I had it dry cleaned. I'm like, this thing is, this is hanging on. And it's very warm. It is in fact a sweater. It's making me sweat. Okay, so you received a cookie called Pistachio Cranberry Christmas Crisps. Are you ready to hear about your cookie?
Yes.
Okay. So this cookie is from Mary Marlowe Leverett of Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
It's so fun watching his face. Mary grew up on a farm in North Carolina, and her father did not have a huge sweet tooth. He liked dessert, but nothing overly sweet. The tartness of dried cranberries were right up his alley. She first made these cookies with pecans because they were plentiful in the South. But as pistachios became more readily available, she made the switch because she likes the holiday red-green look. She works from home as a freelance writer and enjoys baking for family and friends. She's one of our people, you guys! She's a writer! Oh, we love that. Well, Mary, we're going to talk about your cookie, and then we are going to taste it. So, Marissa, let her rip, potato chip.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's so funny to hear Mary's story about her father, because I'm actually in the same boat with my husband. He doesn't normally have a sweet tooth, and he oftentimes doesn't want to try the recipes that I make. He loved these cookies. So I think hit the nail on the head with that one. I'm definitely much more of sort of a chocolate gal. Mm-hmm. So what I loved about getting this recipe is it wasn't one that I necessarily would have picked or made on my own. And so it was sort of a good excuse to make this, and totally a hit. So my husband had a few. He's sitting here in the studio, and I'm staring at him.
Your husband's super cute, by the way.
Oh, I think so. I'll keep him. But then I ended up bringing the rest of the batch to work, and they were gone in a snap. So
good
success. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So baking them. So we're going to talk about here are the ingredients: flour, sugar, vegetable shortening, egg, baking powder, vanilla, Lagrima vanilla, mm-hmm. Salt, lime zest, lime juice, pistachios, and cranberries. So some of these things are kind of like the cranberries you would think of as a holiday, but the lime is the surprise for me.
Totally. And you know what? That was such a perfect fit for me for my blog. I do a lot of lime. So my blog is margaritasintherain.com. I'm originally from Hawaii. I've been in Portland for a few years now. And I write about life, travel, food, and most of my recipes have an island twist to them. This lime was perfect. It's a staple in my house, and it was sort of a fun way to incorporate my, you know, style of cooking into this cookie. So
now you recently took a trip, correct?
I do. I travel quite a bit.
Okay. Because I swear that I just saw a picture of you in like Rome or something.
Yep.
And I was like, what? I just saw her at Feast.
Totally. Yep. So right before Feast, I believe, I was in Venice. It was actually a family trip.
Venice.
I was lucky to tag along with the parentals and my sisters, and we had a great time. It was really fun to be with the family. And
so was Venice so amazing? Like, did you go around on the gondolas and stuff? I haven't been.
Totally. It was a dream. It was, you know what it felt like? That we were walking in a movie set most of the time. Like,
I
kept wanting to push the walls and think that they would fall down, you know? Like, it didn't
feel
real. Oh, it was beautiful.
This has nothing to do with cookies, but
I'll tell you, we ate a lot on the trip, so maybe that ties into the show.
Absolutely.
There was lots of pasta, lots of butter.
I've heard that the food in Italy is actually quite healthy.
Well, you know what's funny is I was really worried when we were there because, I mean, we literally had these, you know, huge plates of pasta covered in butter every day and croissants for breakfast, and it was a little bit ridiculous. I actually lost weight while I was there.
That's
so
what I heard.
There you go.
You know? That wouldn't happen to me. That just happens to everyone else.
No, well, I gained it back. I'll say that much. But
lucky you. So the cookie... So you would say that this cookie is a good holiday cookie recipe?
Totally. Yep. I think this is a winner. Really easy to make. For me personally, I think I had everything already in my cabinet except for the pistachios, which I ran to the store to buy. Everything else was, you know, I think things most people have in their cabinets. It was really easy to put together. I will say, and you had mentioned reading the recipe in, right before break, mm-hmm. definitely read the recipe because you do need to refrigerate the dough before baking, which I didn't, I didn't read the recipe the first time. I ended up recuperating, okay, but I didn't expect to have to wait a couple of hours for that. And then sort of my one qualm with the recipe mm-hmm. was that I had trouble cutting the log into thin, crisp-like cookies, so they would kind of crumble. So I ended up cutting them a little bit thicker, so it didn't make the 3 dozen that the recipe had said it would make. But other than that, still totally a success. So
do you think it was just the ratio of the goodies inside the dough that made it too hard?
When when you would try to cut through, because it was so sort of chunky with all the goodies, mm-hmm. it would just kind of crumble. So
yeah, because it doesn't say to chop the cranberries. I'm wondering if you
if you needed them
to be thinner, you could chop up the cranberries and then probably even chop the pistachios
more.
Or use like a crazy knife.
Absolutely. And that could have been it. Maybe I needed to sharpen my knife.
It's quite possible
because I never do that.
Day, by the way. Okay, so we're going to try this now, everybody. Have you all tried it yet? Am I the only person who hasn't?
Curious to know what you guys think.
Okay, here we go. Let me see if you can hear it.
I will say to the audience, since you can't see it, they are really beautiful Christmas cookies because of the red and green. So that's kind of fun.
That's really good.
Do you like it?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Good job, Mary.
Yeah, nice. The lime is amazing.
Yeah, really adds a little something something.
Yeah, it's and it almost feels healthy when you're eating it. I swear, if you just, it's funny how like we think
they're
like, oh, throw a handful of nuts in it. And these are, yeah, they're fat free because the shortening.
Definitely.
The three, what is it? A third of a third cup of a vegetable cup. Vegetable shortening. Well, it's vegetable shortening. This is great. Yeah, I like this. Hmm. Nom, nom, nom. So, festive colors. Pretty simple directions.
Super simple, yep.
Only thing is that just they're not super thin when you made them.
Mm-hmm. Got to allow some time for refrigeration.
And refrigeration.
Other than that, easy breezy.
I love it. I'll tell you the lime, like I really like this. This is like definitely.
Well, you do the lime zest mm-hmm. and then also the lime juice. So it really kind of.
And it's not overwhelming.
No, it's a nice taste.
I love it. Awesome. Okay. Well, is there, so margaritasintherain.com.
Yep.
The recipe is up.
Yep. It's live.
Love it. So thank you so much, Marissa.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Happy holidays. Reminder, our sponsors, Be Local Honey, Lagrima Vanilla, Wild Friends Peanut Butter, Dogwood Distilling, Tillamook. Best Manufacturing, CDM Thermometers, and Blake's Decorette. We're going to be back with more cookies and more Simple Kitchen.
You're listening to Simple Kitchen with Missy Mackey on AM 860 and KPAM.com.
Welcome back to The Simple Kitchen. I'm your host, Missy Mackey, and we are right dead set in the center of the Simple Kitchen Cookie Contest Extravaganza. I'm trying to think of other great words to throw in there, James. He's in a cookie coma. That's okay.
Festivities?
Festivities. And we are on to our third cookie. Again, these cookies are obviously, as you've started to notice, they are from all over the United States. You know, I think at first we were thinking it would just be Oregon, but we were so surprised that they were from everywhere. And then we had to really, truly, to make it a real contest, we had to blindly select which ones we put. We couldn't pick them just because they were in Oregon, but they would be baked in Oregon with Oregon goods. And we ended up getting people from all over, so it's really fun just to be able to share with the blogger who cooked the recipe for the contest who the person was, and that's kind of been my funnest part is sharing that part, because you know everyone has a story and everyone has their own, you know, a baking journey. So Rebecca, who who writes PDX Food Love, had white chocolate cherry almond tea cakes. Welcome back to The Simple Kitchen.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to tell you about your recipe, applicant person. Let's see here. Okay, white chocolate cherry almond tea cakes. They're from Kara Firestone of Austin, Texas.
Hi, Kara.
Hi, Kara. As her children got older, Kara and her husband wanted to create holiday traditions that honored that honored their family's traditions but create their own as well. Her grandmother always made traditional Russian tea cakes, and while remembering her and her Christmases at her house, she had to admit she never really liked the tea cakes. She decided to put a fresh twist on the recipe using flavors they like, and white chocolate cherry almond tea cakes were the result. Kara teaches musical theater and voice in Austin, Texas.
Aww.
Isn't she sound lovely?
Yes, she sounds these like people, someone I wish I'd they be friends
were all,
with.
Don't you wish they were all here?
Yes.
Kara, that's wonderful. Okay, so Rebecca, tell us about your cookie.
So I am always a fan of the tea cake genre in general. So I was really happy to get this recipe, and I love it. I like the almond flavoring. I like the cherries in there and the white chocolate. They are a really nice balance with the butter. There's a lot of butter. Like the butter ratio is pretty serious in these cookies, but it's very delicious. That's mm-hmm. not a complaint.
I just tasted it. I snuck it in. It's so good.
They're really good.
Wow.
So I definitely liked these. I ate like 10 of them as soon as they came out of the oven because they're bite-sized. They're so delicious. They're really easy to eat a lot of. and they're really easy to make.
You can keep talking.
I'm sneezing. Sorry.
They were also so easy to make. They took like 10 minutes at the very absolute maximum. They were really easy.
So this is such a classic Christmas cookie. My mom used to make these cookies when we were growing up. And they were just, I think they were just the standard. I've heard them be called the Russian tea cakes. I've heard them called Mexican wedding cakes.
Yep, I've heard that too. Mm-hmm.
And essentially, they're just a very crumbly, melt-in-your-mouth consistency. They're the little white ball mm-hmm. that has the powdered sugar on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how you felt about the ingredients and stuff. I mean, were they easy to find or difficult?
I had everything except for, this is actually kind of silly, but I didn't have almond extract in my cupboard. That was the only thing I had to shop for.
But you had dried cherries even.
Yeah, we make a lot of granola, do a lot of like gorpy little packets for lunch, lunches. So yeah, we have a lot of dried fruit on hand.
See, that's the thing about these recipes, and we were going through them, and they'd have random items in them, and there's one that's an incredibly random item, and Mary was like, well, this one has this, and I was like, no, these are bloggers. I'm not worried about it. They're going to be able to find whatever these items are, or they're going to have them, or they're going to know someone who has it, you know, because you usually just need a little bit. So putting it together, you said it was 10 minutes, maybe.
Yep. There was some chill time. I think that it said, I forget what the recipe said.
Oh, I've got it right here.
Chill dough if desired. I did do that because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Since you can see there's actually no leavening agents in this cookie.
Yeah.
There's no baking soda, no baking powder, no eggs. So I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I thought the fat being really cold would be a good thing. So I stuck it in the freezer for 10 minutes. But they didn't spread at all, so I don't know if that had any effect on it or not.
Yeah, so here's the ingredients in this one. It's got butter, powdered sugar, vanilla, Lagrima vanilla, Tillamook butter, almond extract, salt, almonds, white chocolate, coarsely chopped, which I'm guessing you can just do white chocolate chips.
That's what I did.
Dried cranberries, which you can easily get just at Trader Joe's, mm-hmm. easy to find. And then flour. Really simple.
Yeah.
Preheat to 350, bake 12 to 15. Was the yield pretty close to on the nose?
Right on the nose, yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Don't you love that when a recipe actually just depends on how big you actually make the cookie, right?
Yep. I think that, well, maybe it doesn't say on here. I just did about 1 inch. And
no, what you normally, the great thing about these cookies is you've seen them so many times, you know what size they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so has everybody tasted the cookie? They have. Okay, so out loud, tell me how you feel about this cookie.
Oh, gosh.
Very good.
This is really good. This cookie's... James, did you taste this one?
Of course I taste... It's a cookie.
It's a cookie, lady! And what did you think?
Honestly, I'm not really fond of it, but my mom used to make these, too. I was never mm-hmm. really fond of them.
So this one's not your favorite.
Mm. Awesome. No.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I know you're honest now. That's good. Good stuff. Okay, so... You, as far as this recipe, will this recipe be made by you again?
Oh, definitely. It was so easy. That's like one of the best things about it is that there was so little effort involved.
You were like, thanks, Mackie. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the easy cookie. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the surprising thing, is that some of the best cookies are the simplest ones, you know, and then sometimes you'll get this recipe that is, you know, this has this shopping list of items, and you put them together and you're like, I just spent 3 hours on these and they're not that great. Well, mm-hmm. that is not the case with the white chocolate cherry almond teacups or tea cakes. Good night. From Kara. So Kara, thank you so much. I have a feeling you're going to do pretty well here in the voting. Let's talk about, I think we have a couple minutes, so let's talk a few cooking tips. Let's go back to the Farmer's Almanac, Ms. Rebecca.
All right.
Oh, and again, PDX Food Love, and then I'm going to put them all together up on the blog, on my blog afterwards, which is MrsMackieCooks.com. But if you want it right now, you want to make an easy cookie, it's PDX, www.pdxfoodlove.com, and it'll be easy to find. Do you have a search item in there, or is it on the front
page
right
now? It's actually on the front page right now.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Front page right now. You can grab your phone, look it up, take a look. And if you have your phone with you, I highly suggest you take a look at these, because I want you to see what we're eating, because they brought those cookies in. We're eating them right now. So, okay, here's a new one. The Old Farmer's Almanac, 10 Things Cookie Bakers Really Ought to Know. Insist on good, fresh ingredients. Spices lose their flavor over time. If you've had them around since last December, replace them. Unsalted, quote, sweet butter is preferable to salted. It is usually cleaner, sweeter, and fresher than salted butter. What do you think about that, Rebecca?
I totally agree, but for a different reason.
Okay.
I like to control the amount of salt in everything that I make.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I had that issue with some shortbread once. Mm-hmm. I used the wrong butter, and it totally, totally changed it. So, okay, awesome. Your cookie did well. All right, folks, we are going to take a break, a little bit longer break. And when we come back, we've got a few more cookies, and we've got a big, big vote to do. So we'll be back with more Simple Kitchen. Stay right together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up.